Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion with chicken and beer is flowing here, wrapped up in the podcast network rotation. Sports opinion.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the first ever Beer and Chicken Podcast, episode number one. I am one of your hosts. This is a homie, Mr. Span from the Span Report, and we're introducing a new voice to the Span Report Podcast Network. Man, we got the homie Cliff, aka DJ Neff. Say what's up to the people.
Yes, sir. What's up, y'all? Appreciate you having me on, man.
Oh, it ain't a thing. It ain't a thing. But hold on, just a second. Ain't that all inspirational and shit?
Hey, I got a song for you, man.
You got a song for me?
I got a song for you. Yeah.
What you got? Hold on. What you got?
Typically they play it in the seventh inning stretch.
Come the fuck on, you know, man. Are you really about to hit us with some lame shit that they play at the seventh inning stretch in Wrigley Field?
You know, I'm just saying, though.
You know, they do play fucking Take Me Out to the Ball Game in a whole lot of fucking ballparks, Cliff.
Nobody. And don't get it twisted. Don't be a hater all your life.
You can't use my shit against me, nigga. Stop it. No, real talk, man. This is a real exciting time here at the Spirit Report Podcast Network, man, to have the Beer and Chicken Podcast starting up tonight here on MLK Day. Shout out to Martin Luther King Jr. As you can see, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And we honoring Dr. King tonight. This is the birth date also of the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Man, we are actually like partaking of the libations and of the chicken tonight. If you're watching the show live, Cliff has been fucking up some wings like heavy, nigga. Like it is not a game. Like, come on, bro. Really? What's up, Jack? How you doing, man?
Look, don't be mad because you got that nasty food in Detroit, all right?
Hey, listen.
You need this in your life, bro.
Nigga, you act as if I don't know what the fuck is at home in Chicago. Like, stop that. Like
just mad because you ain't hit right now.
I'm not mad, man. Nigga, I'm over here chilling with my Popeyes, nigga. I got the ghost pepper wings, like hot, nigga, just hot. That hot fire. Nah, man. But yeah. So like before we get started, man. Of course, we gotta let you guys know how you can get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Be a part of the discussion here. You can hit us up at the hotline to the show at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. You can leave those voicemail messages if you're not watching the show live, but you can also call into the show and we can chop it up while we're talking all this shit tonight, right? You can also hit us up on the Twitter to the show is Beer and Chicken Pod, all right? At Beer and Chicken Pod. So you can go to Twitter. Follow the Twitter handle over there. We, you know, talk all that sports shit on the Twitter feed. You can go ahead and follow the Twitter feed. You can also follow me on Twitter. My name on there and on Instagram is Mr_Span. You can also go to www.beerandchickenpod.com. That'll take you right to the website to where everything Beer and Chicken Pod related. All of the episodes will be available there. The replays will be available there. You can vote in the polls on the show. You can leave comments on the show. Everything is available there. You can donate to the show if you'd like. And eventually we're going to have a store with like t-shirts and mugs and stuff like that so you can get merch and everything, man. It's really exciting time here at the Spirit Report Podcast Network to have the Beer and Chicken Pod going up and running. And yeah, Cliff, let the people know how they can get in touch with you on the social medias, man.
Well, I don't go on Facebook heavy, but just hit me on Instagram, 4_Fifths, F-I-4_Fifths. I'm the fourth. My son's the fifth. It's 5 of us, so 4_Fifths on Instagram.
That's it?
Yep, that's it.
All right, man.
Well, until we get the email.
Well, you got the email, man.
I'm talking about my personal email, bro.
Oh, well, okay, okay. We'll get that set up, man. It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work.
It is.
The shit ain't easy. Hey, you, they say you sound kind of low in the chat room, Cliff. See if you can turn your mic up just a little bit.
Let's see.
All right.
Let's see.
So while he's doing that, I am going to be pulling up some of the stories that we're going to be talking about tonight, man. Because we got a few. And I know Cliff has got a few that he wants to kind of talk about tonight, too. But one of the first things I kind of wanted to talk about, man. If you listen to the Span Report podcast any length of time, you guys would probably know that I'm not the biggest fan of LeVar Ball, right? I think LeVar Ball kind of like puts himself above. I think LeVar Ball kind of puts himself above his son, so to speak, man. Like, he's making it all about him, right? And so the whole thing with LeVar Ball is like this big baller brand. He's got the big baller brand shoes that he's trying to put out. And some news has kind of come out about that big baller brand and the shoes, right? So when they released the ZO2, which is a shoe that his son is supposed to be his son's signature shoe, that it's supposed to be a shoe that his son personally designed, right? Find out later that his son didn't design that shoe at all, that it was actually a shoe that was already out by a company named Black, and they basically manufactured the shoe through Skechers. Skechers was actually was funding this shoe company called Black. And they had a model out. The shoe was already out for $77. Meanwhile, Big Baller Brand is charging you $499 for some shit that's already out for $77, right? But it gets worse than that, right? So Big Baller Brand is actually being hit by another BBB, the Better Business Bureau, right? So the Better Business Bureau has actually come out and given the Big Baller Brand an F rating for their shoe company, right? So I'm going to read this story. This here actually comes out of TMZ.com, and it says that the Big Baller, the BBB is warning consumers about BBB. The Better Business Bureau tells TMZ Sports that the Big Baller Brand is a disaster and has earned the lowest possible rating, an F. Ever since LeVar Ball launched the apparel company, the BBB has been inundated with complaints from customers who either didn't get their orders or got the wrong items. If you're into keeping stats, how's this? Big Baller has 41 negative reviews and 0 positive reviews, with 33 formal complaints on file. For your information, the Better Business Bureau is a 105-year-old nonprofit organization that monitors businesses across the country to help protect consumers. The Better Business Bureau reached out to Big Baller Brand twice to help resolve their issues, but no one at the Big Baller Brand ever called them back. Blair Looney, CEO of Better Business Bureau Central California, tells TMZ Sports that the consumer should be very careful when considering making a Big Baller Brand purchase. Now, Cliff, excuse me, how you feel about the Big Baller Brand, man? What are your thoughts about this?
First of all, can y'all hear me? Let me know if y'all can hear me.
We hear you fine.
That's better?
Yeah.
You know what, man? I think it's like anything else, bro. If I don't care if Skechers made it or if they was at Payless, man. If somebody is foolish enough to go drop the 4-piece on the shoes, that's on them, man. You know, I was watching The Breakfast Club, and Puffy was on there. I think it was Puffy.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was Puffy. And he said that when they dropped the first shoes, they was $500, right?
Yeah, they was $500. The same shoes that they got out now, $500.
Right. And Puffy said he got 2 pair just to support the people, mm-hmm. you know? And that's cool because that's what you want to do in the first place. But am I going to drop 4? I don't think so. Well, you know, Jordans don't even cost 4.
Well, here's the thing, though, man. Like, because, like, I've seen this a lot, man, where it's like Jay-Z said he copped a couple pair or, like, he just paid for them. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, uh-huh. you might have Diddy or, like, a lot of rappers or like, a lot of famous folks are like, yeah, I'm paying for – I'll buy a couple just 'cause, right? Because he's trying to do something.
Right.
But – I don't know whether or not they really... That was before a lot of folks knew that there was already a shoe company producing those very same shoes and charging $77 for those very same shoes. We were under the impression that they came up with the design themselves, that they were, basically, we were under the impression that basically everything was like pretty much ground level. We're doing everything from scratch, right? And we're finding out that that's not happening. And not only that, is a lot of people who have ordered the shoes, the people who really are supported, a lot of them haven't even gotten the shoes yet. Now, mind you, it takes a lot of motherfucking, I'm not spending that kind of money on a pair of shoes that I'm not necessarily guaranteed to get. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of people right now. It's a lot of people right now like, yo, I ain't even got my shit yet. And they were supposed to came out around August or like September last year. We in January, bruh. Like, them shit still ain't came out.
They've been waiting a year. They've been waiting a whole year.
They've been waiting a long time for these motherfucking shoes. And not only that, man, like, I guess, like, the biggest thing for me is, like, like, I just kind of hate the narrative around this shit where, like, if you're not a fan of LeVar Ball, then you are somehow against black fatherhood. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas are actually trying to hold up.
I don't know. When I hear that, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, man, Stephen A.? He hates him, right? He hates the dad.
Well, he said he liked him personally.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. I don't even think he knows him personally, but he doesn't like it because he thinks he's putting his kids out there to hang for his personal benefit. But to say that if you don't support the Ball family and their whole, you know, idealism that you're against, you know, black fathers, I think that's stupid.
Well, yeah, you know? I think that's stupid too, but you would be surprised as to like the amount of vitriol that you would have aimed at you if you were to say that. Like, it's a contingent of LeVar Ball fans who are almost as bad as fucking Donald Trump fans. Well, like, you can't say anything bad about LeVar Ball, otherwise they think you are, man, you just hate to see a black man come up. Like, it's like, no, nigga, I hate to see a black, like, it ain't even about hating, you know, to see a black man come up. It's, you know, like, yo, this dude is, you're like right, pimping out his kids, and everybody's acting like, yo, it's not about him.
You really think he's pimping his kids?
I do.
First of all, I don't care if people think he's pimping his kids. For his kids to go where they're going, they got to be athletic. They can't be no bums out there getting into UCLA, first of all. I don't care about him coming out with a shoe or not. They got to have something about some skill. They got to have something.
Here's the thing. UCLA wanted Lonzo, right? But in order for them to get Lonzo, they had to therefore promise LeVar Ball that they would take his other two sons. So his second son goes to UCLA, never plays a fucking game because of the whole shit about him stealing shit over in China. Right? Never plays a game. His third son is in high school, will never play for UCLA, won't even be eligible to play college ball because they're doing that shit over in Lithuania. So now he's in a position to where, like, his second son will never play college ball. His third son will never play college ball. And I'm not saying that you have to play college ball in order to be successful in the NBA. That's not the point at all. But the thing is like, you have now made this so much about yourself that you've taken away an opportunity for your sons to kind of gradually bring their games to a level that will be NBA worthy. We don't know whether or not these other two kids are ever going to be NBA worthy. And they might have had an opportunity had he played for UCLA or maybe not. But most of this is basically, yo, LeVar Ball wasn't happy with what was going on with UCLA, so fuck it. They not going to get my sons, and I'm going to do this over in Lithuania, and we're going to try our hand over here at this. But the whole thing with the Better Business Bureau, which is kind of where we started off with this, was the fact that, like, there's a lot of people who are really upholding this LeVar Ball thing and the Big Baller brand and all this other shit. Meanwhile, the Big Baller brand is out here not putting out the product that they promised people, taking these $500 orders, and people are being left holding the bag and not having shit. And if that ain't a hustler, I don't know what the fuck is. And it's like, if you say so, you are somehow against black fatherhood, which I think is stupid as shit.
Hey, man, oldest saying in the book, don't knock the player, okay? He doing what he doing. If somebody is willing to pay the money, man, he doesn't have Nike. He doesn't have Adidas. He doesn't have Under Armour. He doesn't have these big conglomerates, man, who have the system in place. And I'm not saying that he's right. And I'm not saying that people dropping 400 and they're waiting a whole calendar year to get their shoes is anything good about that. But the thing is, if he's still getting his stuff together, maybe he's with the wrong company. He got the wrong people backing him. I don't know. But I did read where, you know, they gave him a bad rating on the Better Business Bureau. And at the end of the day, somebody's going to get fired. It ain't going to be him because he's the one bringing the business.
Well, here's the thing, Here's the thing, though, bro. Like, he could have had Nike. He could have had Adidas. He could have had Under Armour. What he didn't want was the monies that they were putting forth to sign his son. He wanted a co-sponsor deal, almost like Jordan got with Nike, where like he basically has his own brand and Nike is the one who's producing it. The difference between that and Jordan is like, yo, we've seen Jordan do his thing. Lonzo Ball is nowhere near the caliber player that Michael Jordan was or, you know, ever was. So to come right out of the gate and like, yo, I want this. And if you're not willing to give me this, then fuck y'all. We're going to run off and do it on our own. That's one way to go about it. But I would say that, like, yo, like, as much as LeVar Ball wants to, you know, produce his own shoe and, like, get all of the proceeds for it, because what I really think is LeVar Ball needs that $500 price point in order to produce the shoe in the first place, because a lot of these shoe manufacturers, they got this shit down pat. It's not costing them that much money to produce the shoes that they're going to put out, right? So LeVar Ball is basically passing on his cost to produce the shoe to you, right? But the thing is, like, he could have signed with a Nike. He could have signed with an Adidas. He could have signed with an Under Armour for a short period of time and taken that money and put that into the Big Baller brand and then let Lonzo do his thing on the court, let him play his shit out, and then get some cachet for the Big Baller brand that way. Not necessarily saying, y'all, fuck y'all, I'm just going to do my own thing and I'm going to put this shoe out. Like, I just kind of feel like it was a way to go about it, and maybe the way he went about it, I don't necessarily agree with, but ultimately, I just kind of feel like LeVar Ball is putting himself before his kids, and that's really what my beef is with him. I don't have any beef with his kids. My beef is with this motherfucker standing out in front and making it about him and not so much about the talent that his kids have.
I disagree, because all he does is talk about his kids, first of all. He talks about his kids. He even I think the first game dude played against the Lakers, they lost. And, you know, he didn't put up good numbers. And they were asking him about, you know, his son's performance. And they're like, well, he lost the game. And what did he say? He still feels like his son is one of the best players in the league. So, no, I disagree. He definitely, he big ups his kids every possible chance he gets, every time. Now, he follows that with his marketing, his hustle, every time. So I don't understand, you know, at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people throw a lot of salt in his direction as far as, you know, how he talks about all these different business ventures he has going on. But everything stems from the kids, bro. Everything.
Everything stems from the kids. You're
everything.
Right. I know that.
Everything.
I know that. There would be, you know, LeVar Ball if it wasn't.
And look.
Go ahead.
When they were in high school, all three of them played for the basketball team at the same time. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
All three of them. And all he talked about was his kids. His message has not changed. Only thing that has changed is the money. Now the money started rolling in, and he probably, you know, some different doors opened up, but everything started with the kids, and he still talks about the kids.
Well, here's the thing. He talks about the kids, no doubt. But he's also inserting himself in places where he does not need to be, right? So even when you talk about the fact that, like, all three of his kids played at the same high school, he was also at odds with the high school coach, to the point that the high school coach was fired because of LeVar Ball. Not because the team wasn't winning, not because his boys wasn't playing, but because LeVar Ball didn't like the fucking coach. That's an overbearing-ass parent, man. That's an overbearing-ass... It's like a stage mom. Like, you like, come on, man, really, like, get her out of here. Like, we're trying to get some shit done, and she keep meddling in the middle of what the fuck we trying to get we trying to get done over here. And it's the same damn thing. Like, even to the point now with the Lakers, he's also talking about, yo, this team gonna stop playing for Luke Walton. And it's becoming a problem with the Lakers because now media outlets are really paying attention to what the fuck LeVar Ball is saying, and LeVar Ball isn't even a part of the fucking team. He's not even on the team. Hey, he's not employed by the Lakers. He doesn't play for the Lakers. None of this shit.
Yo, you just said that. You just said he don't play for the team. I hear that. Let me say this, man. The dad is doing something that no other dad has done, and that is back up that his son was going to go to the league. When it comes to these high school basketball players who are superstars and the coaches, even here in Chicago, dude, if I got the number one player, I'm not even going to say in the country, that every high school wants in the state, they're going to go to that coach and make sure that they get what they want. That's just how it goes. That's just not in L.A. or whatever part of California they were in. Dude, that's bottom line. Hey. They will take their son out of that school. Look, he homeschooled him because guess what? He didn't like the coaches. And that happens every day, especially here in Chicago.
Hey, you know what, though? How many of them fathers do we see all over motherfucking ESPN? How many of them motherfucking fathers are we seeing, like, better yet, you may know of a basketball player who's a star basketball player. He might have an overbearing dad. But very seldom do you see that father all over the videos, all over the fucking TV dancing.
You sound like Suge.
Very, very seldom do you see those fathers doing that, man. It's okay to be a fan of your kid. It's okay to say your son is the best, or to think that your son is the best in the world. But the thing is, like, let their talent speak for itself. You don't have to be out in front doing all of that shit. When they out there balling, everybody else can see that. Nobody needs to see you. Nobody else needs to see you. Like, you not the motherfucker that everybody came to see. They came to see your kid.
This dude is doing all that show. You know why he's doing that show? Because if he wasn't speaking all of this stuff about how good his sons are, yo, they wouldn't be where they at. I don't think they that good. I think they're good to make a squad, but to go to the league, I think he made that, he put it out into the atmosphere, he put it out to the world. He has something that people want to see. Basketball, baseball, football, all these sports is entertainment, man, and people want to get entertained. And he is entertainment, and he has brought his sons to the top of the mountain because he's running his mouth.
No.
And I don't think it's a bad thing.
His son, he is if his
using
son,
the system.
If his son couldn't play ball, all the mouth in the fucking world wouldn't get his son to the NBA. Bottom line.
I agree.
So I disagree. If his son couldn't play ball, his son wouldn't be in the fucking NBA. Him talking about his son would not get his son to the NBA. Bottom line, if they put his son through the combine and he's going through workouts and they're like, yo, he can't break down a motherfucking defense. He can't get around any motherfucking, he can't get anybody one-on-one. He can't rebound. He can't distribute the ball. If he couldn't do any of that, but his daddy was on the sideline talking about, yeah, my boy can play. Yeah, he can play. Goddamn right, my boy can play. Nobody gives a fuck about what his daddy is saying on the sideline if his son can't play, which is what I'm saying. Is like, yo, the boy, like Lonzo can play. His daddy is just extra. And a lot of that is just his daddy putting a lot of his daddy. He's bringing a lot of attention to him, no doubt. And there's a lot of NBA players that are trying to go at them because their daddy talks so motherfucking much. But if the boys could not play, nobody would give a fuck about their daddy talking shit. They'd be just one loudmouth nigga on the sideline like it is everywhere else in the hood.
So he first round draft pick is what you're telling me.
Who, Lonzo?
He first round. Yes.
He went first round, second pick.
I know what he went. You think he's a legitimate first round draft pick?
I think he was a legitimate first round draft pick.
God. Okay.
Look at the numbers,
hey,
man.
His son can play.
His son can. Here's the thing. Like, I have no beef with the ball boys. His son Lonzo can play. His daddy just talks too goddamn much. That's what it essentially boils down to for me.
I'm not saying Lonzo can't play. He, like I said before, you got to have some type of athleticism to make it to UCLA. What I'm saying is, to go in the fact that he went first round, And everything else that he's getting, I feel like, is because of his dad pumping that up, man.
You think so?
That's what I'm saying.
I think his dad has kept him from getting shit, if you really want to be honest with I feel like his daddy has kept him from getting opportunities because people don't want to fuck with his daddy. Like, it's a whole lot of shit that he probably could have, but people are like, yo, you know what? I don't even want to deal with all that bullshit going on over there, so we just gonna hold back on that. He probably would already have a Gatorade motherfucking endorsement. He would have had a shoe deal if his daddy hadn't fucked that up by talking shit about, well, we're going to go over here and we're going to do our own thing. He could have been with Nike. He could have been with Adidas. He could have been with Under Armour. If his daddy wasn't talking shit, he would have already had these things. His daddy has kept him away from opportunities. As much as y'all would like to say he talked up his opportunities, the boy could already play ball. His daddy has talked his shit. He has talked him out of motherfucking endorsement opportunities.
Okay, I'm gonna eliminate the endorsement opportunity thing because my thing is, I don't even think the boy's top first round. I don't think he's first round. Is he good enough to make it to the league? I'll say yes, and I'm gonna say that because you know what? Nowadays, even the first round drafters compared to like. I mean, I can name some draft years that was just amazing, but he's not first round. Does he deserve to go to the league? Probably, you know, the fact that he was at UCLA doing his thing, and guess what? He was doing his thing there. But we're talking about the league, and he's talking about the starting two guard in the Lakers? No, I'm not giving him that.
Well, the only Lakers ain't shit this year, bro.
You can get a shot to go to the league, and after that, what his numbers that he's doing right now, if he was an average Joe, he'd be in the league 2 years, and he'd be gone. D-League, drop, overseas.
And you think his daddy, you think his daddy talked him up to the point where people was like, you know what, we really got to get this Lonzo kid because his daddy said he good.
You want me to answer that question?
Yes, I want you to answer that question.
My answer to that question is this. His daddy put up so much talk, all right? Once again, this is entertainment. He built this bubble for his son so they can sell tickets. People buying tickets to go see this fool, man. Let me tell you something. Do you think people are going to LA to see what's the skinny dude name who came for Power Forward? The light skinned homie who killed, who's actually killed.
About Larry Nance, Larry Nance Jr.
No, on the Lakers, man. The light skinned dude who decent.
Kuzma?
It might be Kuzma. Dude, nobody's going to go see him, and he the one who doing good. They want to go see this ball boy. It's about selling tickets, dog. And if you can get somebody on your team where people want to come and see him, even though he trash, dude, that's because of his dad. Nah, that's because of his dad, dog.
Nah.
Who else is it for? He is garbage. This dude's not even putting up a double-double.
Who said, hold on.
He can't even score 20.
There's a whole lot of dudes in the league that's not putting up double doubles, man. Like, that's not necessarily the criteria for a guy
either, man. They ain't selling no tickets.
About selling tickets. I'm talking about his merit to be in the league. You see what I'm saying?
It's about who?
I said, I'm talking about his merit to be in the league. If Lonzo Ball could not play, he would not have been drafted the second overall pick. His father could not have talked him to the point. And I feel like I'm hearing an echo. Hold on, let me refresh because I'm getting an echo over here. Just a second.
I hear an echo too.
All right. Dun, 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 dun. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, you good, bro.
I still get that echo.
I know why it's an echo, though.
Well, turn it off, nigga.
I think you got a Sox hat in your house somewhere, so all that negative energy is coming through your microphone.
Nigga, don't be a hater all your fucking life.
Don't be a loser.
Whatever, nigga. So, yeah, man. We're going to rehash this, but there's no way in hell that a dude's dad can talk enough shit to where he gets his son drafted second overall. If he couldn't play ball, his son wouldn't be in the league right now, man.
There's still an echo.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, if y'all can hear me, turn your microphones off. Because it's feedback.
Nobody else has a microphone on.
Well,
nobody else
has a microphone on. What'd
you say? Hey, refresh your screen.
Hey, refresh your screen.
White folks act stupid like LeVar Ball and nobody says nothing. He using a system that's in place to make money. This dude has never watched motherfucker. Have you watched Dance Moms, man? Like, if you ever watched Dance Moms, you could tell people be like, man, what the fuck is wrong with those moms, man? Just let the kids enjoy the motherfucking dancing. Like, they being way too goddamn extra.
Oh my God.
I'm reading this shit in the chat. Is this you in the chat?
Dance Moms?
Is this you in the chat, man? Is this you in the chat, nigga?
Dog, you're comparing this to Dance Mom?
I am, because LeVar Ball is like a dance mom, man. He too motherfucking, he too goddamn involved, man. Let the kids do their thing, bro. Let the kids do their thing, man.
He gonna make me choke on his chicken wing, man. Yeah,
you probably That's should funny. Choke on that chicken wing, nigga.
Dance Moms?
Yes, nigga, Dance Moms. That nigga's a dance mom. That nigga's a dance mom.
Oh my God, that's funny. I like that. I like that. But you know, though, as much as people hate on him, you can't hate with somebody getting that bread. So, bottom line,
I'm not even hating the bread, man. I'm really not. I'm just saying that I think that when you critique LeVar Ball, and my biggest thing has always been this, when you critique LeVar Ball, there's a contingent of black dudes who think that when you talk about him and you're not sucking his dick, that you are somehow talking bad against black fatherhood. And that's the furthest thing from the goddamn truth. They're not trying to hear any criticism of this dude whatsoever. Much like Trump supporters, they're not trying to hear any motherfucking criticism of this dude whatsoever. So that's where I'm at with it, man. But we got another story.
I agree.
We got another story that I thought we should probably talk about, man. It was about this Ohio youth team got kicked out of a rec league over some pretty racist jerseys, man. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of YahooSports.com. It says a boys basketball team has been kicked out of a Cincinnati area recreational hoops league for wearing uniforms bearing sexually suggestive team name on the front and a racially objectionable names on the back. 4 weeks into the Cincinnati Premier Youth Basketball League season, parents of players on a team from West Claremont, Ohio. It would be fucking Ohio. The fuck I stayed there and everything. saw that the team from Kings Mills, Ohio, against whom their children were playing, was named the Wet Dream Team. They also noticed that the names on the back of the high school age boys' jerseys included phrases like Negro and Coon. Tony Rue, a parent of the West Claremont player, highlighted the eyebrow-raising jerseys in a lengthy Facebook post asking how such attire and such a team name was deemed appropriate for a league that hosts players from grades 2 through 12. By no means are we perfect parents or assume our teenage boys are innocent and don't speak of things like this, but I can never imagine allowing my teenage son to represent his school and league in this manner, let alone represent our family with such filth, Ruth wrote. There is enough hate, bullying, and aggressive behavior in the world that these kids, parents, and schools shouldn't have to deal with bigotry and lewd innuendos on jerseys and the team names in a school district represented recreational basketball league. This isn't a typo. This isn't a mistake. These are ideas that were thought of, discussed, and agreed upon by adults and kids alike, printed on uniforms and social media accounts, registered and manned, and no one thought it was a bad idea. So, Cliff, Neff. How you feel about these damn jerseys, man? How you feel about this league? You putting CB5 in one of these leagues, man?
You say what?
You putting CB5 in one of these leagues?
You know what, man? I mean, I hate to feel this way, but I'm not surprised. You know, all the stuff going on, man. And, you know, you got these dudes in the world, girls too, probably women, grown, small, big, all that. And if they found a few, I'm sure it's more out there like it, you know, and they probably been doing it for a long time and they just got caught. But
I don't think they're going to get punished. 4 weeks.
What'd you say?
I said, they say they've been doing it for about 4 weeks.
Well, I'm saying they've probably been doing longer than 4 weeks, okay. You know, but I don't know, man. You know, it's kind of getting old, and nothing's really going to happen to them at the end of the day.
They got kicked out the league.
You know, we're going to hear about it.
They got kicked out the league.
They did get kicked out the league, but I'm saying nowadays the racial tension is so high, man, and all the negative things that follow that. I mean, shouldn't there be some type of, and I don't know if this should be true or not, but for people to get, you know, get about 6 months behind some bars, because that stuff can lead to people dying, man. People pull out guns for that nowadays, you know, and it's bad. It's bad, and I feel bad how it can break teams up easily, because, matter of fact, remember homie with the Eagles? What was his name?
Riley Cooper.
He stayed on the squad. You know, so I don't know, man. It's, I don't know, man. You know, when it comes to all that racial stuff and they start calling folks names, writing on jerseys, doing this, that, and the third, they don't smack them on the hand hard enough. That's why it keeps happening. Period.
Well, here's the thing. From the way that they were talking about this in the article was that the players knew about this, like they thought about this, like they came up with these names themselves, and the coaches co-signed the shit. And I'm getting an echo again. So, but the thing is, like these players went through this. They came up with all these ideas themselves, and I guess the biggest. God damn, this echo is killing me. I need to refresh the screen.
It is.
Jesus Christ. Look out for your boy. Let's do this again. See if we gotten rid of the echo. Yes, let me in. Oh man, look at that. Cliff didn't disappear. Oh, where has little Cliff gone? Where can he be?
Really?
Yes, nigga, really. Yes, nigga, really. No, but I'm saying, like, these players and their coaches, like, they pretty much knew what the team name was going to be. They knew what the names were going to be on these jerseys. I think more than anything, it's an indictment on, like, the parents of this team and the coaches of this team to allow this sort of shit to kind of go on for at least 4 weeks. They didn't think that there was any problem with what was going on with this. And, you know, like, yeah, we live in a really racially charged time right now, especially now. Like, probably now more so than ever at any point in my life are we really dealing with a lot of racial issues politically and socioeconomically and all of this stuff. To have a team just kind of like make fun of this and be like, you know what, man, fuck all of that shit. We're going to call ourselves the Wet Dreams, and we're going to call ourselves, you know, coons and Negroes and all of this other shit. It's just more of an indictment of the players. You don't really expect much from the kids, but the coaches and the parents around this team, for them to just be like, oh, yeah, this is a good idea. Why not? Like, that's what I'm like, yeah, fuck all of y'all. Like, what the fuck was wrong with y'all?
You say it ain't got nothing to do with the kids. The fact they're doing it now, they've been doing it since they were kids, man. They've been doing this a long time. If the parents of the players are accepted, they've been doing this for forever.
Well, that's not necessarily true, man. I mean, it's been plenty of times where, say, for instance, when we were teenagers, we might have come up with some pretty fucking stupid ideas, right? And our parents would have told us, yeah, that's a pretty fucking stupid idea. And we didn't go through with it. Like, well, you probably right. But if you got your parents and your coaches who are not only encouraging your pretty stupid fucking ideas, but then like, yo, we going to co-sign this shit and put it on jerseys. And we going to make sure we going to go out as a team and as a team family. And we going to represent ourselves this way. That's where you running into trouble, man. Like, it's the people around these kids who are allowing this sort of shit to go on. Like, the kids are only going to do what you allow for them to do. If you make it to where these things are unacceptable to you, then your kids will follow suit. Bottom line, Bottom line. So, like, that's why I say I blame the, like, more so than the kids. I blame the parents and I blame the coaches because they co-signed this shit. They endorsed it. They let these little motherfuckers go out there with this shit on. The kids are doing what they were allowed to do.
That's true.
So that's what, you know, that's where I'm at with it, man.
Well, you know, it's going to be a long time before that stops. Long time.
Well,
that's big echo.
I'm under no illusions that racism is going to stop in our lifetime, right? I'm not under no illusions of that. But at the same time, I'm also of the mindset that, like, yo, that doesn't mean I don't have to say anything about it when I see the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no compunction about, yo, making a motherfucker feel stupid for being stupid. Like, that's like,
yo, the last comment, let a black team come out with uniforms that say honky on the front and cracker on the back, not only will they get kicked out of league, somebody will be put in jail, and they will kill black folks with no pill. That's true, man. Seriously, you already know, man. It's the double standard is amazing. You know, if a white boy does it, smack on the hand. Hey, man, you know, 10 hours of community service. The same crime committed by a black person, even though it's the same thing, and they just do that reverse, he's going to get something slapped on his record.
Here's the thing, though, and I'm just talking about this particular story, in, like, specifically, I don't know the racial makeup of this squad, right? I don't know if there were white kids on this team. I don't know if there were, like, Hispanic or, you know, Asian kids on this team. I really don't know. What I do know is that they're coaches and their parents allow these kids to go out with their team name as the Wet Dreams, and then they also allow for their kids to go out with their names on the back to be Negro and Coon.
Let me ask you something. If your kid was on the team and you was not down for none of that, and he the star player, you pulling him?
Hell yeah, I'm pulling him.
You pulling him?
I'm pulling him. You're not about, okay, to represent my son. My son is not about to represent like that.
Okay,
or my daughter. Never.
He ain't got to wear the jersey, though.
What do you mean he ain't got to wear the jersey? Like, if they felt like that was a good idea, that's not a good environment for my kids to be in anyway. If anybody in that particular organization feel like, hey, man, how about we go out here with Negroes on the back and Coons on the back? How about we do that? Like, no, nigga, no. Like, that's not what we doing. That's not what the fuck we doing, man. So yeah, man, like, just that whole idea, man, I just thought that was really fucked up. And you know, that whole team got kicked out of the league, rightfully so. I hope they granted every team that was supposed to play them the W in that league, man.
Yes.
You know, so, cuz they forfeit every game behind that shit, man, real talk. Now,
yes,
we got another story, man, that I kind of wanted to hit on. Stephen A. Smith, man, you know, we all know Stephen A. Smith as a loudmouth over at ESPN, man. He has, like, out-talked Skip Bayless and made Skip Bayless go all the way over to Fox Sports 1 to create a whole-ass show that's pretty much exactly the same as First Take with Shannon Sharp. And the thing is, man, like, Stephen A. Smith is one of the more prominent voices on ESPN. He's a loudmouth. I remember when Stephen A. Smith had, like, a little late night talk show where he would have athletes on there, and then, like, they fired him from ESPN and they brought his ass back. So Stephen A. Smith had some real rich shit to say, right? So we're reading this story. This comes out of awfulannouncing.com, which is actually a pretty good outlet if you want to talk about, like, sports and like sports media and stuff like that. I really enjoy their website. And it says, they got this story that says, Stephen A. Smith wants everyone at ESPN to stick to sports except for him. Right? So
this, that was his statement?
No, that was the headline to this story. So let me read this story. It says, the cross-section of ESPN and politics continues to be a focus as the calendar moves from 2017 to 2018. Already this year, we've seen ESPN have to publicly respond to comments that Katie Nolan made about Donald Trump after a year of controversy with the network entering into the political spectrum. With regards to ESPN, the politics we know, with regards to ESPN and politics, we just know you're dying to hear what ESPN's loudest talker, Stephen A. Smith, has to say about the whole thing. His comments are puzzling, to say the least. It says, in comments at the Sporting News that covers First Take's ratings since moving from ESPN to ESPN, among other topics, Smith was asked a question about Trump's feud with Jemele Hill and the network at large. Curiously, Smith said that ESPN is a sports network and that his personality should stick to ship. His sports personality should protect the brand and stay in their lane. So Stephen A. Smith said, do I believe the president should be wasting his time commenting about stuff like that? No. Do I believe the president has been a bit juvenile in his behavior? Yes, he has. Having said that, it's one thing to attack what he does. It's an entirely different matter to attack him. When you attack him, we are stepping out of our lane. We are a sports network. We have an obligation to wake up every day with the mindset that we are not only speaking for ourselves, but we speak on behalf of the brand. It is not a brand that we own. It is a brand that employs us. It has entrusted us to represent it as just as much as we care about representing ourselves. So with that in mind, we have to be cognizant of all those things. Yes, the president is going to say what he has to say. Yes, he's going to venture in our lane to the point where it's apropos for us to respond. But we also need to be cognizant of the fact that it's incumbent upon us to leave it there and not extend beyond that point. Now, interestingly enough, Stephen A. Smith regularly shows his ass up on Fox News to talk politics. Everyone knows Stephen A. Smith as a commentator for ESPN when they see him on Fox News talking politics. So how then can this silly motherfucker fix his mouth to tell anybody else at the network, like, hey, man, y'all probably should be talking this politics shit, man, you know, like, nah, because we represent the brand. It's almost as if he's treating the ESPN as if it's the NFL shield. You know, they talk about the shield. We got to protect the shield and all this other shit. Like, that's basically how he's trying to, like, portray ESPN. We got to protect this brand that we are employed by. And we shouldn't venture too far off into what our lane is. And it's as if the people who are working at ESPN don't have minds. Like, as if they can't, this is, like, they can't express themselves in the ways in which they should be able to because of who they work for. I don't know, man.
That's,
what do you think on this?
Dude, first of all, even though he goes over to Fox and he talks about something else, I'm sure they got something in place to restrict him on what he can talk about in his contract.
Maybe.
There's another dude, what's my man name, who does politics. White dude, glasses. Every time, like, matter of fact, I'm gonna find him right now.
Keith Olbermann?
He does a really good job. Huh?
Keith Olbermann?
Yes, Keith Olbermann, dude. He was a sports caster for years. And guess what? When it's time for a presidential race, his show is off the chain. And he does sports. So I don't knock that, you know, Stephen A is kind of, you know, doing a two piece. I don't knock that at all. More bread.
No, I think what Stephen A. Smith is doing is a bit hypocritical, because basically what they're asking him is whether or not the people over at ESPN, when you think about what happened with, like, say, for instance, Jemele Hill, when she talked about Trump being a racist on Twitter, and folks were actively campaigning for Jemele Hill to be fired from her job at ESPN because she was responding to someone on Twitter and basically telling a truth that all of us pretty much, like, know right now. Like, if you think about the comments that Trump made about, you know, African countries and Haiti being shithole countries, and asking why we don't get, you know, more immigrants from countries like Norway. Like, when you add that into the fact that, like, yo, Trump done, like, been sued for housing discrimination. Trump done asked for the fucking death penalty for 5 black and brown kids who were, like, exonerated. Like, we talk about the Central Park 5, like, he wanted them to be put to death even after they've been exonerated, and DNA evidence has exonerated all 5 of them. When you think about Trump talking about, you know, Mexicans being, like, rapists and drug dealers and all these things, like, Trump has a history of being a racist. And Jemele Hill went so far as to say what a lot of people were already thinking on Twitter, and she got in trouble for that, right? And so he's responding to people saying, well, like, it's sports. You guys are sports commentators. You should stick to sports. Whereas he would tell a Jemele Hill that she should stick to sports because she works for ESPN. When he would tell that other young lady that she should stick to sports because she works for ESPN. Meanwhile, Stephen A. Smith is taking his ass over to Fox News to go talk politics while also being employed by ESPN, where we know he talks sports. So I think it's just being, I think it's the hypocritical nature of what he was saying that has people raising eyebrows at the fact that, yo, Stephen A. Smith is saying to everybody else, yeah, y'all should stick to the sports shit, leave the damn politics shit to me, and basically telling them that, like, y'all don't have any rights to speak on this.
No, you're right. I mean, that's very hypocritical. And Jemele Hill and all these other sportscasters who have tried to or have already, you know, crossed some tracks and go to another, you know, territory as far as commentating, they should say something about him. I mean, he does it all the time. Why not? That's on them if they want to let that slide. But I don't think I don't actually, you know what, truth be told, I don't think nobody's going to say anything. I don't think they're going to say anything because if I think Steve has some clout right now, you know, he's one of the hottest, if you ask me, you know, in on the stage as far as commentating on all sports. People look to see what Steve has to say. Steve goes on other shows that have nothing to do with sports so they can let him talk. So he has the platform to pretty much do whatever he wants. He definitely has, he's a vet, you know, and somebody like Chris Berman, nobody's going to want to hear what Chris Berman has to say outside of sports.
I wouldn't
Stephen
say that.
A?
I wouldn't say that. I think there's
Chris Berman,
I think there's,
he's good for his 2-minute drill, straight up.
I think that there's a certain segment of the population who would love to hear what Chris Berman thinks about certain things. Me and you probably wouldn't give a fuck about what Chris Berman thinks about politics. There's a certain population in America who would love to hear what Chris Berman thinks about politics in America. Like, just because it might not necessarily resonate with us doesn't mean that it's not going to resonate with other people. And so, like, for, like, Stephen A., like, yeah, people, like, Stephen A. has opportunities where, like, he's doing Fox News and whatever else. But also, like, we can't think that Stephen A. is too big to be talked up to or talked down to. Like, you think about what happened with, say, for instance, what's my man named? Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock was a really big voice over at ESPN at one particular point in time, too. Jason Whitlock actually was supposed to be the start. Like, he was one of the spearheads of that new venture that ESPN has, The Undefeated, where it was about basically, like, where they featured a lot of black writers, black contributors to ESPN, and they would contribute to this, this is basically they tried to make it like the Black Grantland, which was what's my man name? Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons started Grantland, and he linked that with ESPN, and ESPN still has that. And basically, like, The Undefeated was like the Black Grantland. There's a lot of black contributors and a lot of black writers that write on The Undefeated. Jason Whitlock alienated a whole lot of motherfucking black people that worked at ESPN to the point where Jason Whitlock's ass ain't even there anymore, and The Undefeated is going on without his ass, and he's over at Fox Sports 1. So, for, you know, it's not to say that Stephen A. Smith can't be talked down to or nobody would say anything. I think a lot of it is like, yo, man, I'm not about to get into the public spat with Stephen A. I think there's a lot of stuff that goes on between talent that we're not necessarily privy to, because they're not going to talk about this on Twitter. They're not about to talk about this publicly, because it's like, yo, I'm not trying to fuck my money up. You know what I'm saying? Even Stephen A, like, yo, I'm not about to get into a public spat with y'all because it's going to fuck up my money. And so, excuse me. So I would say that, you know, when it comes to Stephen A. Smith, I'm just basically saying, like, a lot of the shit that he's talking about right now is very hypocritical. And, you know, is really rich coming from him to say some shit like that.
I mean, you know, I like Steve. Steve can probably go to church and sound the same and get the same response, you know. And if he's hypocritical, guess what? Nowadays, people look past everything.
You know what's funny?
Period.
Stephen A. Smith and LeVar Ball, I kind of like the same motherfuckers, too loud.
Oh, my God. You cannot stand this dude. You cannot stand LeVar Ball. I swear to God, it's too funny.
I made no motherfucking bones about whether or not I like LeVar Ball or not. I said from gate.
You don't have to.
I never did, man.
You light skinned. I can see your blood going through your veins. I can see you don't like LeVar Ball. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga, we are the same fucking complexion. And you looking extra bright right now because your lights is in there, bright as shit. Yes, nigga.
Don't be hating on my LED.
This nigga all golden and shit. Look at him. He got a motherfucking shiny ass nose.
Like a diamond. You hating that? You know.
Yeah, man. So you had something that you said you wanted to talk about, man, with the Vikings, man. What was up with that?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull this up while I'm pulling it up. I know everybody's seen the play last night. I was watching the game live, man. Mm-hmm. And I was on the phone with my cousin. And, you know, everybody thought the game was over. 10 seconds left. You know, they were actually trying to get in position to score a field goal.
Right.
You know, they were only down two.
Right.
And everything. And the thing is, New Orleans, they had great coverage, you know, and it was a fluke play. Sean Payton said, I don't know if you saw the interview, he said that the guy actually went for the tackle, but on the replay, dude just ducked. Dude straight up ducked.
Right.
But my small issue is, here you got Stephon Diggs, right? Diggs. He scores the winning touchdown. And, you know, they celebrate. The whole time I was watching TV, he was actually walking around the stadium. The players were actually off the field. He was like the only dude left on the field. He's standing on speakers and tables. And he's like putting his hands out, uh-huh. like, give it to me, right? And I'm like, you didn't just win the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. It's a big deal. The Minnesota, they have had upset since 1975 to go to the NFC Championship, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this dude is celebrating way too hard. You know, don't let it go to your head. You still got two more games if you really want to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Win that last game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, funny enough, I go on Facebook this morning and they show a picture of this dude. He had his jersey on 2 hours after the game was over. I was like, dude, you need to go shower, first of all. You need to go shower and stop celebrating. It's just to go to the next round, yo.
Mm-hmm.
When I went on Facebook, he has been specifically talking about when he scores touchdowns and what celebration he's going to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I love when the players, you know, when Chad Johnson pulled the pin out, you know, that's all great.
Right.
Nobody knows who you are, right?
They do now.
You know, nobody. Did you know who he was before yesterday? No,
but I do now.
You do now, right? So this is my thing. I think that all this celebration, and you only did one. You did one thing, man. Now do that in the Super Bowl, and we won't have any problems. All this celebrating. As a matter of fact, let me read this to you right quick. So okay. This link that I found on SBNation.com.
Okay.
It says, Stephon Diggs celebrates a TD with a homage to Vikings legend Randy Moss. So basically, he scores a touchdown, regular season game, and he goes, and I don't know if you remember when Randy had, he did this little dance. Randy was upset. Randy actually sent a message, I guess, let me see. He sent a message to Steph, and he was like, yo, don't do that. Don't do me. And he was upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I ain't knocking Randy. Yo, first of all, do your own thing. You know, everybody want to do Deion. You know what I'm saying? When they do, you know, when they score a touchdown. My uh-huh. thing is, dude, you won one game. You celebrating like you won the Super Bowl, man. And I'm watching it live. I'm like, yo, they ain't even interviewing no other players. They're trying to catch him, and they can't because he's standing on boxes 20 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Really? 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 You know, I've never seen nobody celebrate like that. And it's like,
no,
you got to do better than that. You got to do a little better than that for me and before you can start doing all that celebration. Now, that's just me. Okay. That's just me. I've been waiting for the Cubs to win all my life. That's a celebration I did. You didn't even win that big of a game. It's like you went to the next round. Yo, it was lucky. You got lucky. That was not talent. That was not the fact you shook somebody or you caught it one hand out of bounds. No, you got lucky and you ran it in and y'all won. That's it. And you celebrating like, I don't even know, you know.
Okay. Okay, so here's the thing, okay, man. So
here's the thing. Am I wrong? I mean, really?
Hold on, man. Hold on. I'm just
Black people, man. Black people, we take it too far sometimes.
I'm just gonna say this, man. And this ain't just a black people thing. We talk like going back to baseball, like you mentioned the Cubs, right? When baseball teams win their division, what do they do?
They you know what they do?
What do they do?
They do the same thing they do when they won the Super Bowl.
The World Series, right? They go in the locker room. They popping bottles, nigga. They got the t-shirts. They got the hats, nigga. They over there spraying each other with fucking champagne. It smell like champagne, pissing sweat up in the motherfucking locker room, nigga. Like, they in there having a good-ass time because they're like, yo, nigga, we did it. We going to the playoffs. They doing that just for the opportunity to go to the playoffs, right? So, I can't knock a dude. I really can't knock a dude for, like, in a moment of, like, yo, I can't believe what the fuck just happened. This was a game that we probably should not have won. They had us dead to rights. There's no way in hell I should have been able to like run this game, this ball in for a touchdown. No way in hell. He should have knocked me on my ass as soon as I put my hands on this ball, but he didn't. He missed. I stayed in bounds. I ran it in, walk off touchdown. Game over. We on to the next round. Minnesota ain't been here in I can't tell you how long. Right? I can't knock a dude for having that level of motherfucking adulation. Like, yo, like, nigga, can you believe what the fuck just happened? Really, nigga? Really? I cannot believe what the fuck just happened. Because I kind of watched some of the interviews and shit that he did, like, right after that and shit. And he was like, yo, man.
Yes.
He was like, I can't believe. Like, he was like, yo, I can't believe what happened. Like, his teammates and shit, they all like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right.
Everybody was like, yo, what the fuck just happened? So I can't necessarily say that I'm mad at old boy, man. Although you and me, I think you more so because, like, the Lions, I mean, well, like, this is NFC Central kind of rivalry there with the Vikings and the Bears and the Lions and shit like that. But, right. But I think you, like, I think that might have something to do with why you feel the way that you do, man. Like, you like, yo, man, these punk-ass Vikings and shit.
Actually, no. The thing is, well, first of all, if it ain't the Bears, you know, we already had this conversation yesterday. If it ain't the Bears that's going, I don't care who go. It could be Detroit. It could be Minnesota. I don't care who it is. You know who I got, and that's Captain Brady. And at the end of the day, I don't care if Minnesota goes all the way. They gonna lose.
We don't know
period.
That. We don't know that. That might be a team of destiny right now, nigga. We don't know.
Well, how about this? Your shirt says injustice anywhere. You put some money on that injustice. I bet you the Minnesota Vikings gonna lose, man.
You trying to put money on? See, here's the thing. If I gave a damn who was gonna win, then I put money up. I don't give a damn right now, dog. Like, all my teams is out. My Carolina Panthers is out. My Detroit Lions is out. Yo, Chicago Bears is out. These other motherfuckers, I don't give a damn about them enough to put money on them to figure out who's going to win or not. That ain't how I roll. You know that.
Well, see, you know, I hear you. I respect that. But, see, if you are just opposed to how I feel and you feel like you can win some money, that ain't got nothing to do with who you for.
Hey, if I don't give a damn about them, I'm not putting up bread on them. That's what I'm saying. So that's just what it is, man. My Lions ain't in it. My Carolina Panthers ain't in it. And I'll tell y'all, like, for those of you who are like, you know, like, okay, this is the first time you guys are hearing the show, right? This is the first episode. But I'll tell you, I am a Lions fan first, right? Let's get this out here. I'm a Lions fan first. But with being a Lions fan, one must also have a second team to root for because the Lions will find a way to fucking snatch defeat from the arms of victory. They've done it to us plenty of times. I've been a Lions fan since 1990. So that's going on, what, 27 years? Yeah, 27 years I've been a Lions fan. And we haven't been close to a Super Bowl since 91. And when the Washington Redskins tapped that ass in the NFC Championship game, and then they beat the fuck out of the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. Like, so I don't really feel bad about us losing that, but we should have been coming close to, we should have had more than one fucking playoff win since 1990. So as a backup, and I got my backup in 96 before the Carolina Panthers ever played a game, my nigga, like it ain't no bandwagon shit here. Before the Panthers ever played a game, nigga, like, you know what? I like their logo. I'm fucking with the Panthers too. So that's what it is, man. So those are my allegiances. I got the Lions and I got the Panthers in the NFL. I got the Bulls in the NBA. And I got the White Sox in Major League Baseball, man. Those are the teams that I root for. Oh, and the Red Wings when it comes to hockey and shit.
That's all good. You know what? I'll say this. I agree with your ideology. You know, of course, I'm a Bears fan. And, you know, the Bears, you know, I was in South Beach when they went to the Super Bowl in 07. And very heartbreaking, I must say. It hurt. And even before the Bears went, I have been a Tom Brady fan since he was at Michigan.
I was a Tom Brady fan when he was at Michigan. I'm going to fuck about him being with the Patriots. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm a Brady fan. The fact that he's with the Patriots and that he's doing what he's doing is big for me. I love Brady. You know, when you get hooked up with a coach like Belichick, man, I think it's a big deal. And at the end of the day, you know, it's all by chance. You know, nobody expected Brady to be as successful as he's been, you know. So that's my team behind the Bears. Am I a Bulls fan?
It's hard to be a Bulls fan right now, bro.
Well, see, it's not hard to be a Bulls fan.
Yes, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Because
especially if you don't believe in the front office.
You don't believe in what?
If you don't believe in what the front office is doing right now, it's very hard to be a Bulls fan, at least for me.
Well, I agree with that with all Chicago teams minus the Cubs, because when the Cubs change hands, well, you see what that says.
It took 110 fucking years. I said it took 110 fucking years, dog. You know how many people lived and died before the fucking Cubs finally did some shit? Jesus.
Let me know when you finish. Oh, okay. You finish. Okay. But but I agree. Like you said, the back office for all Chicago teams, except for the Cubs, because they're the only ones who's actually changed hands and changed their back office, and they won since they changed hands. The Sox, eliminating the Blackhawks, I feel like they got lucky. They had some great drafts, young guys, and now they're a dynasty. You know, the Bulls, I'm a Bulls fan because Mike was there and Pippen was there and Phil was there. You know, they got the six piece. But I guarantee you, somebody asked me right now who they drafted last year or their starting five, I wouldn't know anything.
That's the funny part. Like, I don't know who, like, that was, I put this up on Facebook like a week and a half ago, bro. Like, I don't know who our starting five is anymore. I don't know who the fuck we draft. Like, I'm looking at this team like, who? He's still playing? Who? Like, that's just how.
I didn't even know they had done.
Yeah, like, I've been pretty much salty with the Bulls since they got rid of Jimmy Butler, man. And we kind of talked about this yesterday, but I just kind of felt like that was when you knew the tanking shit was in. Because you had a bona fide two-way star in Jimmy Butler, and you let him go for fucking peanuts because y'all wanted to keep that punk-ass coach that y'all had. Like, I just feel like that was some bullshit. Like, real talk. Like, you don't give away that kind of – you don't give away that level of talent of a player just because you're trying to keep the coach. Like, nah, fuck that. Get rid of the coach, man. He didn't pan out to what you thought he was going to be. Now, the funny thing is, people be talking about, but the Bulls beat the Pistons, and the Bulls, they won 7 out of 10. Like, yeah, they're now 10 games below 500. Like, I can't get excited about that shit, man. And as a real fan, I'm like, yo, I'm a fan, but at the same time, I can't be a fan who's like, but we're going to be great this year knowing goddamn well we're going to be sorry as fuck. So that just is what it is when it comes to Bulls with me, man.
I'm with that. And I think it's going to be another 20 years. I don't know. But I was talking to somebody about the Bears. As long as the McCaskies have ownership, that's going to happen. I was surprised when the Bears gave Peppers $80 million. They haven't given anybody that much money. I don't even know when. Probably Urlacher. But that was like over time, you know. So it's not going to happen anytime soon, you know. And even with the Bears quarterback situation, you know. And I don't even know who this dude they just picked up who was the offensive coordinator for, Seattle or something. I don't even know who it was. But I don't know, man. I'm not excited. You know, I go to a few Bears games every year, and I go because it's just fun. You don't go to expect to win. You just go because you're a fan.
You know what's interesting, though? Like when you talk about the McCaskies and the Bears, a lot of the talk around the Detroit Lions is the same thing when it comes with the Fords. Like, it's a whole lot of people in Detroit who think that because the Ford family owns the Detroit Lions, they will never be good because the Ford family, like, kind of accepted mediocrity for so long. You know what I'm saying? Like, we kept coaches far too long. Like, we had fucking, who's that, Rod Marinelli, who had to, like, we went 0-16 when Rod Marinelli was the coach. We went out and got Steve Mariucci, and Mariucci turned out to not be the greatest fucking thing in the world. We had, who was that? Matt Millen was the GM of the Lions then, and he drafted wide receivers with the number one pick like four straight years. Like, like we just had, and, you know what? And the Ford family was like, yo, we like this guy. We're going to keep him on.
So do you knock Marvin?
Marvin Jones?
You knock him? No, the Marvin over with the Bengals. He's been there 13, 14 years.
Well, I'll say this.
One, nothing.
I'll say this.
They like him.
Yes, they like him. But yes, the thing like is, him. With Marvin Lewis, Marvin Lewis said Marvin he was Lewis. Quitting.
Marvin Lewis.
Like, he said he was going to quit. He said, like 3 or 4 weeks before he decided he was going to re-sign with the Bengals, he was like, yo, I'm going to quit and pursue other opportunities. And then I looked up 2 weeks later, and this motherfucker had re-signed with the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, he was talking about
2 years.
Like,
he was talking about leaving. And the Bengals was like, no, nigga, we can't let you go.
Hey, but look, you know what? I said this earlier. This is sports. It's entertainment. If the fans like you and the owner like you, they going to buy them tickets.
I don't
see
know,
that dude on the field, man.
Because I'm not in Cincinnati, I don't necessarily know if the fans like the fact that Marvin Lewis re-signed. There's probably a lot of fans that are like, yo, man, we ain't won shit. I mean, like, we done been to a playoffs a couple times. We haven't won a playoff game. We like the Lions in that respect. Like, we ain't won a playoff game in forever. Yeah, he's had some stars come through here. And, like, we had, you know, Ocho Cinco / Chad Johnson. Andy Dalton was good. We had, you know, Corey Dillon at one point. Like, he's had some players. But we've never really gone anywhere with this guy. And it's probably time for somebody else to come through here. That dude has been coaching for 15 years and ain't won nothing. The only coach in the NFL who has a longer tenure in the NFL is Bill Belichick. But Bill Belichick got 5 fucking Super Bowl rings to account for his time in New England. Marvin Lewis ain't got none of that shit. So,
you know what? You know, Marvin Lewis and the Bengals, they're going to be like the Knicks. They always gonna go. They might go to the playoffs. They might have a good team.
Then they gonna run into the Bulls. Good talent.
No, but seriously, think about the teams back in the 90s that had squads and they never got rings. They had squads and they had the same coach forever. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. And unfortunately, you're gonna have some teams like that probably deserve a ring. Does Marvin Lewis deserve a ring? Probably he does. A lot of people deserve a ring, but
no, nobody deserves one. You got to earn that bitch.
I'm saying, I know he got to earn it. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, he's had the talent, he's had the ability, and the people around him to take him to that level, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, man.
You know,
so
at the end of the day, that's
so.
It's time for us to get up out of here. It's kind of late.
Hey, man.
It's kind of late, but before we go, man. We got to let you know how to get in touch with us here at the Beer and Chicken Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. You guys can call into the show as we're doing this, man. Hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. And that goddamn echo is back.
And make sure you turn your mics off, yo, because somebody got their mic on. Somebody like this, they got their phone right here. And they got it on their phone, and they got it on their computer. And the interference is the reason why we have to restart the whole thing, man.
Yeah, but you can hit the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. You can leave a voicemail message once we're not live. But while we're live, you can call into the show and be a part of this right here. You can also email us at feedback. That's feedback at beerandchickenpod.com. This is new to your boy, because like we, this all of this shit is all of this shit is new. So you can email us at feedback at beerandchickenpod.com. All right. You can follow us on Twitter. The Twitter is Beer and Chicken Pod, at Beer and Chicken Pod on Twitter. You can hit me up on Twitter at Mr. Underscore Span. That's M-S-M-R underscore S-P-A-N-N. You can follow me on Instagram. It's the same thing. You can follow Cliff at, what is it, 4 underscore fifths?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like Dave Chappelle. Yeah, 4 underscore 5. F-I-F-T-H-S.
Yeah, what that nigga said. And
what'd you say?
I said, yeah, what that nigga said. Also, man, you can go ahead and hit us up at the website, man. Go to beerandchickenpod.com. Leave your comments. You can vote in the polls there. You can watch the replays of the show there. You can donate to the show there. And I will say this. The views expressed on the Beer and Chicken Pod are those of the nigga who said them. If you have problems with what was said on the Beer and Chicken Podcast, address them to the nigga who said it. Right, them niggas. Right. All right.
Oh, that's funny.
All right. And we got to get out of here, man. But I appreciate everybody in the chat room, man. Appreciate y'all watching. And all of y'all who going to listen later, appreciate y'all listening too. And this has been episode 1 of the Beer and Chicken Podcast on the Span Report Podcast Network. We'll talk to y'all later, man. Peace.
Yes. Peace.